Hello there.
How pleasant of you to join us.
Greetings, exalted one.
Join me. This is the way.
This is where the fun begins.
Hey there, Star Wars friends. Welcome back to Galaxy Palooza, a Star Wars podcast of galactic proportions where we celebrate the extraordinarily impressive Star Wars universe. And in this episode of the podcast, I'm going to be doing some retro celebration. That's right, because I am looking back at The Mandalorian. We are revisiting The Mandalorian, and we're going to start out with revisiting The Mandalorian Season 1, Episode 1, or referred to as Chapter 1, titled The Mandalorian. Yeah. See, I realize this might not be the most timely thing to do, to be in favor with all the algorithms and, you know, all the hot news stories, you know, that pertain to Star Wars. As I'm going backwards in time here, but you know, something hit me a couple episodes ago on this podcast, and when I was doing The Mandalorian Season 3 teaser trailer reaction podcast, I realized how much I love talking about The Mandalorian and how much I miss talking about The Mandalorian. And I haven't really talked about The Mandalorian much on this podcast, so I decided to do this series of The Mandalorian Revisited. Now, not going to be breaking down the whole Chapter 1. I'm just going to hit on three things really in this episode. And in the next episode, I'll come back and continue this. It might not be the exact next episode of this podcast, but it's going to be an ongoing conversation as I continue with this podcast. So without further ado, let's get after it with revisiting The Mandalorian Season 1. All right, The Mandalorian Episode 1. Season 1, Chapter 1. The name of that episode was The Mandalorian. It was Dave Filoni's directorial debut, and it was written by Jon Favreau. Now, in the beginning of the episode, we see the Mandalorian Din Djarin. He is walking on this ice planet, and that planet's name is Pagadon. And he's on this ice planet, and he's there. He's got this little like tracking beacon. You know, it was the first time I saw this in Star Wars at the time when they introduced this, but later we learned that this thing is called a tracking fob. And I believe this was the first time it was even shown in Star Wars. You know, I could be wrong. You know, and at the time when the episode came out, I had like, what is this tracking fob? There is not really a lot of information out there on it. But so I did some research on it, you know, since, you know, Mando's been out for a while now. And what I've learned is the tracking fob is a short range sensor that bounty hunters would use to track the targets. Now, the fob works by the bounty hunter getting access to their target's chain code. Now, this chain code was also something that was new, introduced fresh in The Mandalorian, and there wasn't much known about it at the time. But since then, we have been able to learn that a chain code is an identification code that provides an individual's biographical information. You know, we see some of this later on in Season 2 of The Mandalorian when the Mandalorian meets up with Boba Fett, and Boba Fett's able to show Mando the chain code that is embedded in the armor that proves that the armor that Cobb Vanth had, that Mando acquires, truly does belong to Boba Fett. So we saw a little bit more of that, but you know, other than that, in Mando, not much information about the chain code. But you know, went online, did some research, hit up the homies at Wikipedia, and so what I've learned about this is this chain code, it drives the tracking information on the fob. Then the chain code is basically biographical information, as I said earlier. It ends with the age. You know, it has some other information in there as well. But the chain code drives the tracking mechanism on the fob that's attuned to the biographical information. So that's really super interesting and science fiction-y, really. You know, it's like, how, like, I just kind of think about it. Like, this tracking fob knows somebody's chain code, and it is able to track them based off biographical information. So I thought that was pretty cool, interesting, something new to Star Wars. Now, even though chain codes, this was the first time we see them in Star Wars. We all know the Star Wars is never linear. We ended up getting the Bad Batch cartoon season one after the Mandalorian season one aired. And they actually, in the Bad Batch, we see the introduction of the chain codes. And the chain codes were introduced by the Empire shortly after its formation. The citizens of the newly formed Empire would have to register for a chain code to convert their credits and also to be able to travel off-world. So we did see that in Bad Batch, but you know, one of the big things that's always kind of been in my mind when the chain codes was introduced is like, you kind of got to think like, why weren't they able to just use these to track Luke Skywalker, to track Leia, to track Han Solo, you know, or anybody else? But you know, for Luke Skywalker, it would have made sense for him that he didn't have a chain code because he was not a citizen of the Empire. Now Leia from the planet of Alderaan, you know, being royalty, maybe Bail got them a pass for having to register for a chain code to where they could be tracked. Now, Han Solo, another story. You know, he was actually part of the Empire at one point, as we saw in the movie Solo. So it's like, you know, maybe a little plot holy and whatnot, but still pretty cool. I liked it. You know, the chain codes was a really cool introduction to Star Wars, brought something new. Now, as I mentioned, when we first meet Mando Din Djarin, he's on the ice planet of Paganon. Mando walks into the cantina. You know, one of my initial reactions I did, you know, or thought of when I first saw the Mando on an old podcast I did, I said, my initial impression was, a Mando walks into a cantina and opens a Bacta tank full of whoop-ass. And, you know, that doesn't really change. I still have those feelings, you know, when I first see this. But looking back at it as a retrospective, I would kind of want to talk about, like, the Mando, you know, going into this, you know, cantina. So this cantina is actually called Ferryman's Reach. And I thought it was cool how it had all, like, the scum and villainy hanging out there. And everybody's speaking Huttese there, you know, Jabba the Hutt's language, you know. And this planet Paganon, it's, I don't think it's in Hutt space, but it is located in the outer rim, you know, like Tatooine's another outer rim planet, just to add some context to it. So I thought it was really cool how all like the vile gangsters all speak Jabba the Hutt's language. Thought that was really cool. The other thing, you know, Mando goes in this cantina. He's there to get his bounty, which is the Mithril. He ends up capturing the Mithril. And when they're on their way to the ship, we learn about the Ravenax. These, like, husked sea creatures that live under the ice. And it's mentioned in the episode that they feed on the gray holds that's dumped by the ships that land there. So, like, I guess this contains waste from the ships. And from what I understand, it's everything short of excrement. Poop. Yeah, poop. I said it here. Shit, I said it. They didn't just say it on Andor. I said it here. Shit. So yeah, so they're dumping their shit in the ocean and the Ravenax are just feeding on it there. It also appears that Ravenax like to feed on ships and people too, because as we see later, it comes up through the ice and swallows the speeder that dropped Mando and the Mithril off at the Razor Crest, and then also tries to attack the Razor Crest and Mando's able to fight it off. I really thought that was one of the coolest things in that episode when it dropped. I was like, wow, that's so cool. This creature busting out of the ice and Mando's like fighting it off. Super cool. And so once Mando's in the ship with the Mithril, you know, riding along, you know, we get a shot of a toilet. I mean, that's like the first time we see a toilet in Star Wars. So that's funny. And then the Mithril makes a Life Day reference. Super cool. Liked that a lot. So yeah, it turns out though, Mando is hunting this Mithril. He's kicking him up because the Mithril is actually, the bounty placed on him was placed by Greef Karga, who we meet a little bit later on in the episode. Greef Karga, my man, Carl Weathers portrays this character. Big Carl Weathers fan since I was a kid. Grew up on the Rocky movies. Love those so much. Love seeing Carl Weathers in The Mandalorian as Greef Karga. Now, when we meet Greef, he's an agent of the Bounty Hunters Guild. We learn he's a disgraced magistrate. So the magistrate is basically a planetary official that's a rank lower than governor. So, and it's not really known at what point he became disgraced, but the term magistrate was used in the Old Republic, the Empire, and the New Republic. And so it's just somebody, you know, kind of like a politician. I don't think they're voting in the office, but I would assume they're assigned a position, and then somehow Grief gets disgraced. So he, you know, becomes the bounty hunter's agent, which he's in charge of coordinating the transactions between the bounty hunters and their clients. And I think I just said, it's not really known exactly when Grief became disgraced, if it was during the time of the Empire or if it was once the New Republic came along. So there's some backstory that we could probably see at some point for Grief. You know, that's it for this episode of the podcast, though. I really just wanted to come in here, talk about The Mandalorian and have some fun. Hope everybody's out there doing well and feeling amazing. And thank you for tuning in this podcast. If you haven't yet, please remember to stop by the website, leave a message, tell me your thoughts about The Mandalorian Season 1, Episode 1, Chapter 1, The Mandalorian. Now, I'm going to be coming back in the next episode. We're going to be touching up on that. Continue more. There's a lot more in that episode to go over. So remember, be sure to subscribe to the podcast too. And also go over to galaxypalooza.com if you haven't already. Sign up for the mailing list so you get an email every time a new podcast drops. All right. That's going to be it. I'm out of here. Everybody, have a great day.
This party's over.
I have spoken.
The Force will be with you. Always.